message is presented to you by Victory Christian Center in Farmer City, Illinois. For more information, contact us at www.vccfarmercity.org.
Well, that is what we are in the middle of. We are well into a series now. We have taken several weeks to lay a solid foundation of what the Bible says about being led by Him. A lot of it we're not going to turn there, but based on Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so that's our series, is how to be led by the Spirit of God. And what does that mean? Does He speak to His people today? Is He leading people today? And if so, how is He doing that? Well, we laid a lot of that in the last several Sundays of, yes, He is speaking to His people today. Yes, He is leading His sons and daughters today. And we're going to begin to transition in this series. We've got the foundation laid. Let's start talking about how does that happen. Is He talking, and how do we hear? What's that mean? What do we do? Do we have a part to play? Do we not? Things like that, different questions we can answer. So I want to show you something. There's this frame of phraseology, maybe, this common theme that goes through all of Scripture that I want to look at. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to rattle off a whole bunch of verses real quick. Is there some... You're going to need to change chairs up there, Miss Erica. I'm about to go quick. We're going to run through a bunch of them. If you want to turn somewhere, go over... Well, just don't go here. We're going to go to Isaiah 6 in just a moment, and then we'll end up in Acts 28. But I'm going to read several out of Revelation, and it's going to go kind of quick. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "He who has an ear... let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I'm just going to read that part. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 2:17. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 2:29. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Anyone seeing a pattern? Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 3:22. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do you think the Spirit has something to say to the churches? I think He does. I think He does. Well, who's going to hear what He's saying to the churches? Well, it's going to be the one who has an ear. Well, He's not talking about these. We all have these. We all have sound waves bouncing off of our eardrums. But that's not who He's talking about. He's not talking about these ears. He's talking about spiritual things. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." So, the verse implies then that not everyone's going to hear. "He who has an ear, let him hear." But not everyone's going to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, then, where's the dividing line? Well, I'll put one group of people aside right off the bat who are not going to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And those are the people who aren't even saved, who don't know Jesus, who aren't part of the church. They're not going to hear. Jesus said, you don't have to turn here, but John 14:16, this was on the night before He went to the cross, when He was having that incredible teaching time with the disciples. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." So He's not talking about salvation here. It's something different. But He says they can't receive Him. Why? Because the world neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. For He is with you, and He will be in you. He shall be in you. He's about to be in you. What did He say? He will be in you. And He was just shortly after that, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, He was in them. But the world can't see Him. The world can't hear Him. They don't have ears to hear. So there's one group that's not going to hear Him. Is there another group? Is it possible there are people even within the church who have the ears, but they're not listening? He's saying, if you have the ears, he has an ear, let him hear. But will everyone hear just because they have the ears? I want to look into that a little bit. What kind of ear? Again, don't turn there. Revelation 13:9. We'll jump forward 10 chapters. He says something different. Not really. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. See, this is all through Scripture. What kind of ear? Well, ears that hear, or hearing ears. Or if I can get ahead of myself, I'll just put it this way. The Bible talks about open ears and closed ears. Even within the church, we have open ears and we have closed ears. So who do you suppose determines whether or not your ears are open or closed? Whether you are hearing with your ears or not? Yeah, you do. They're your ears. You have a lot to say with whether your ears hear or not. We're going to dig into that. This terminology of hearing ears yet not hearing, it's all through Scripture. Let me give you an Old Testament example. We're going to jump over to Isaiah chapter 6. A familiar passage, but we're going to read a little further than sometimes people do. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." We have songs written about that verse. We like that passage. Keep reading. And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." This passage is quoted by the Apostle Paul, and he does a good job. I want to jump forward to Acts chapter 28. He's having a conversation with some people, and he said this, and I get the vibe that they didn't like what he said. But we'll pick it up in verse 25. The Apostle Paul, he said, "So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word." Sounds like he said this, and they said that's it, and they're gone. It's the vibe I'm getting. But anyway, what did he say? Paul said, "The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." See, this was the condition of that, specifically the Exodus generation that came out of Egypt. But it's not limited to them. This has been the condition of people through much of the Old Covenant. Sadly, it's been the condition of many in the New Covenant. This is not a new thing, it's an old problem. But notice in this passage, all the way through it, notice what the problem is not. Nowhere in there is the problem that God won't talk. He's talking, they're not hearing. He's speaking, they're not perceiving. So the problem is not trying to get God to talk. The problem's not on the broadcast end. The problem's on the receiving end. So once and for all, we will establish God's not the problem. He's not the one not talking. It's on the receiving end. If you're working on God, trying to get Him to talk to you, you're working on the wrong end. You don't need to work on God's end. The problem's on the receiving end. It's kind of like, I want to use this illustration, but technology has kind of weakened my illustration. I want to talk about a radio dial, the frequency on an FM radio. Today, everything's all digital and just touch. You don't spin a dial anymore. You just type it in most times. Back in the day, and I'm not that old, but there was an FM dial, literally, where you'd have to spin a knob and you'd watch a needle go across this and you'd get down into the neighborhood of where you thought you needed to be, and then you had to kind of tune and you had to work at it a little bit. And the same thing in the car. You had to turn that thing, you know. And if if the radio station you were looking for wasn't coming in, the first thing you did, let me put it this way, the first thing you didn't do was call the radio station and say, "What's your problem? I can't get you to come in. Are you not broadcasting? Are you off the air?" No, we didn't assume that. There were plenty of variables on our own end in getting that thing to work and dialing it in and tuning into that frequency. Well, see, it's almost like many in the church do that same thing. They're trying to dial into the God frequency so we can hear what He's saying to us. But then, if it doesn't just come in quickly and easily, then we just figure, well, I guess He's not talking. I guess God's not broadcasting. You know, I wonder why God's not talking to me. Because I've prayed and I've fasted. I worshiped Him and nothing. I guess God's not talking. Well, are you sure? Because what's Scripture tell us? And a quick review. We've looked at a bunch of verses. Scripture says that His sheep hear His voice. Scripture says that His Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. He'll bring all things to our remembrance. I don't think the problem is God not keeping up His end of the deal. I think He's keeping His end of the covenant. So let's not focus so much on the broadcasting side of things. Are we dialed into the right frequency, as it were? Are we hearing? Is everything... Can I say that? Is everything kosher on our end? Is everything cool? Everything worked out? Or could it be we have some fine-tuning to do? Are there some adjustments maybe we need to make? See, this is the case because His Word is true and He never changes. God is speaking. The problem is what we've seen all through Scripture. Eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, hearts that have grown dull. But there are things we can do to open our ears, to soften our hearts, to open our eyes and see. And those are some of the things I want to begin to look at. The flip side of that same coin. There are things we do, ways we live our life, that will close our eyes, that will dull our ears, that harden our heart. And they make it almost impossible to hear Him. It has a lot to do with us. So let's look at some of that. Matthew chapter 11. Here's where we're going to land for a little while this morning. Matthew chapter 11. We have Jesus speaking to His disciples in this passage. I'm going to pick it up in verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes." Let's pause for just a moment. Who's He talking to? He's talking to the Father. So Jesus is praying in this moment. And we get to listen in. We get to eavesdrop. He says, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight, all things have been delivered to Me by My Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." Now, we're about to hit a very famous verse that we're all familiar with, but before we get there, what's the context? What is He talking about before we get into what we're about to say? He's talking about knowing God. God being revealed to us. That's our context. And so we keep reading, and Jesus says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a famous verse. We've all heard that verse. And I've heard it preached in a lot of different sermons in a lot of different ways. But I want to leave it in the context that it was spoken. And that is the context of knowing God, of having Him revealed to us. And He says, "Come to Me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." So in God being revealed to us, do you understand not having Him revealed to us, not knowing Him? Or can I say it this way? Not knowing God's will is a bad situation. Let me say it this way. Being faced with a circumstance and not knowing what to do, Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I plow ahead forward? Do I just stop and wait? Not knowing what he wants you to do is a form of torment. It is not rest. It's torment. What do I do? I got to make a decision. Which way do I go? What do I do? That's not rest. He says when you begin to know him, when you come to him, you're going to find rest. And that's the good news. There is a form of rest in knowing him. Hold that thought and keep reading. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we're talking about the yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. What's Jesus going to do with that yoke when he gets it around you? What's a yoke for? He's going to lead you. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. I got to pause for just a moment. When I was first studying this, and I'm reading that passage, and he starts talking about a yoke. Now, I don't know where your mind goes, but mine goes all the way back, usually to Gabriel. I don't know why. It was a bad ending for the oxen that day. But back in, not Gabriel, no, Gideon, sorry, not Gabriel, Gideon, the prophet Gideon, when God called him, he was in a field plowing with two oxen, and they had a yoke in the two oxen and a plow, and he was working, and by the end of the day, those two oxen ended up on an altar as a sacrifice. So, rough day for the oxen. But my mind always goes back to that wooden yoke between two oxen. And I'm thinking, oh, he's saying, take my yoke upon you. And all of a sudden, I'm picturing me in that wooden yoke pulling a plow or something. I don't know. And then I connect that with that verse in Psalms we looked at a couple weeks ago of the horse and the mule. You remember that? That was in Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And then he says, don't be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, but must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. And he's saying, don't be like the mule, don't be like the horse. And then I'm picturing me in this yoke, and I'm thinking, aren't I being a mule? Aren't I being a horse? I'm hung up on that. And so I'm kind of thinking about that, and I'm meditating on it, and kind of praying about it. And I heard the Lord speak to me, again, not these ears, but it came up on the inside of me. He asked me a question. He said, what was the problem with the horse and the mule? And well, I know from that verse. I said, well, the problem was they don't understand. They have no understanding. That's what he said in verse 9. Don't be like them. They have no understanding. So the problem with being a horse or mule is they don't understand. And then he said this. He said, what's the first thing I said would happen to you if you take my yoke upon you? Well, I had to go back to Matthew. Look at verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I saw it. When we take his yoke upon us, the first thing he begins to do is give us understanding. We won't be like the horse. We won't be like the mule who have no understanding. When we take his yoke upon us, first thing he says, learn of me. He says, I'm going to begin to give you understanding. It's been his desire all along. And you put that into context. Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to keep my eye on you. He wants to guide us. Here in the context of Matthew 11, he wants us to know him. Learn of him. It's interesting. So many people go to that part of Isaiah where he says, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And most people conclude then that they're so high we could never understand them. We could never do them. God is so much above us, and we're just little old me. Well, that's not even what that passage says. It goes on to talk about the written word of God and how he sows that into you and it'll never return to him void. That's where we learn of him. All the context of knowing him, he says, you're not supposed to not be able to understand his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So the answer is, learn them. Learn about him. Learn his ways. Learn his thoughts. And how are you going to do that? Take his yoke upon you. We're not supposed to wander through this life not knowing. We take his yoke upon us. So then I did a little more digging. Yoke here in the New Testament is the Greek word zygos, and it simply means a coupling. It doesn't have to be the wooden thing for animals. It just means a coupling. It ties two things together. And in the context of that wooden one, think about it. A wooden yoke joins two oxen together so that they can work together as one. Instead of having one oxen power pulling your plow, now you have two oxen power pulling your plow. But they work together. It keeps them connected. And I like that picture of us and God. We can become so connected to Him that all He does is begin to change directions one way or the other, and we know it. We sense it. Why? On that yoke. Because we're connected to Him. You know, one of the reasons Jesus used that analogy is because it's all through the Old Testament. In Judaism, they have a couple phrases I found. One of them is, they call it a yoke of heaven. And what that refers to is the commitment that any Jew makes to trust in God. They call that a yoke. I trust in Him. I am connected to Him, tied to Him. I cannot be separated. I am yoked to God. They also have a phrase called the yoke of the Torah. And in that case, it's the commitment any Jew makes to keep the commandments of the written word of God. So this yoke is our connection to Him. It's our commitment to Him, to follow Him, to learn of His ways, to understand His thoughts. Okay, well then the next piece. If we're going to take Jesus' yoke upon us, if we're going to learn of Him, what's the first thing we need to learn? The number one thing we need to understand. Well, it's right there in verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. Us being gentle and lowly in heart is that path to rest for our souls. Now, what does that mean then, to become gentle and lowly in heart? I can sum it up in one word: humility. If you do word studies on those, most of your translations use words like meek, humble, gentle, lowly. The Young's Literal says, "I am meek and humble in heart." But the theme is all built around humility. So step number one in learning of Jesus, of taking His yoke upon us, it's all built on humility. It's a huge key. So what do we have to do to become humble? What's that really mean? In context of what we're talking about, it means we quit being stubborn. Is that just me? Or is that maybe you too? We quit being stubborn and submit to His yoke. We quit being prideful and we admit, "I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I should go left, if I should go right. I don't have it all figured out." It's when we admit, "God, I need your direction. I need you leading me and guiding me." It's when we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, "I can't do this without you." There are a lot of people who won't do that. But humility is the first step. When we humble ourselves and submit to that yoke, that's the first step in dialing in that frequency to begin to hear His leading, to begin to hear His voice, to recognize which way He wants us to go. On the other hand, if you harden your heart, if you get risen up in pride, a phrase you see a lot in the Old Testament, usually speaking of Israel, if you stiffen your neck, that's a phrase they used a lot. I almost have this picture of almost like raising the chin. It's that you see stubbornness in that. It's almost a physical expression of an inner attitude: stiffen my neck. If we do that, you dull your hearing. And you're not going to hear Him. You're going to callous your heart. And even if He's speaking, it will be as if there is no God to you, because your heart is hard. Some people in that position will even just think to themselves, "Well, God's not talking to me." But that's not the case. He's talking. You're not hearing because you have hardened your heart. and you've allowed pride to enter in, and you've put your confidence in the flesh instead of in Him. And this is an irony, but I want you to think about this. Why then, in that position, can you not hear God? Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. God does not lead us with external things. We've talked about that. He doesn't lead us with circumstance. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is not called the holy body or the holy circumstance. One I've talked about more often, God does not lead us in our mind, in our will, our emotions, our reason, our intellect, our feelings, our logic, and our reasoning. He doesn't lead us there. The Spirit of God is not called the holy mind. He's called the Holy Spirit, and He communicates with us in our spirit. The Scripture calls this your inner man, the hidden man of the heart, the real you on the inside, your spirit man. That's where the Holy Spirit will communicate with you. But if you harden your spirit, if you harden your heart, you have hardened the only part of you that is capable of hearing from Him. That's a bad place to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they, or the things of the Spirit of God, are spiritually discerned. So if you want to spiritually discern the things of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to maintain the spirit part of you and keep you soft, not hard, humble, not proud, because that's the part of you that discerns Him. So there are things we do or don't do that affect whether or not we hear Him. I want to give you a couple examples. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. We're going to pick up an account with Jesus. Oh, the irony. When you harden your heart, you harden the only part of you that is capable of discerning spiritual things. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." Their mind went right to natural things. He's trying to talk to them about spiritual things. The leaven of the Pharisees, He's talking to them spiritually, but they're only hearing naturally. He's trying to get important truth over to them, and they're not hearing it at all. It's almost like He's talking on the FM dial, and they're over here playing with the AM radio. They're not on the same frequency at all. They're not hearing Him. But can you say that Jesus isn't talking to them? No, we can't say that. Once again, He's talking. They're not hearing. Their ears are open, but they're not perceiving. They're not getting it. Look at verse 17. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand?" And here's the issue. Is your heart still hardened? That was the issue. He's trying to deliver spiritual truth, and they're not getting it. And He says the problem is your heart is hardened. Is your heart still hardened? Because hard heart means no hearing. Hardness of heart is eyes that don't hear. Nope, eyes that don't see. Ears that don't hear, hard heart. Verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And He says, and do you not remember? He starts reminding them of some things. Because He's not just talking to a crowd. This isn't a sermon. They're in a boat. He's talking to His staff. He's talking to the men who've been following Him for a little over 2 years now. They're early in the year 3 of His earthly ministry at this point. And these guys have been listening to teaching from the best teacher to ever grace this planet, preaching from the best preacher man has ever seen. They've seen signs, wonders, and miracles for 2 years now. And he's saying, is your heart still hardened? Are you still not hearing? And then he goes on to explain, don't you remember when we had no bread and there were 5,000 people with us? He says, was it a problem then? Keep reading. Verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of leftovers did you pick up? And they said, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets of leftovers did you take up? And they said, 7. I can hear their tone. 7. Heads down a little bit, you know. It's one of those moments. But then what's he say? He says to them, how is it you do not understand? Question. Did he expect them to understand? Yeah. He was disappointed that after 2 years, they still weren't hearing. Their hearts were still hardened. Huh. According to Jesus, the condition of their heart had a direct effect on whether or not they understood what he was saying to them. Humble heart, ears that hear. Hard heart, ears that don't. One more example. Let's go over to Luke chapter 8. We're going to pick up right at the end of the parable of the sower. So you're probably familiar with the parable. It was the sower sows the word. You got 4 different kinds of soil that the seed's being sown in. We're jumping in right at the end of that parable here in Luke chapter 8. We'll pick it up in verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he raised his voice, and he yelled, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Like I said, it's all through the Bible. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. See, then just like today, God is both revealing himself and hiding himself. He's doing the same at the same time, doing both to different people. To some people, he's revealing himself. To others, he's hiding himself. And what's the deciding factor of whether God is being revealed to you or he is being hidden from you? What's the deciding factor? It's not, are you saved? That's not the deciding factor. That deals with relationship. Father, son, husband, wife, those are relationships. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, your relationship is solid. He is your Father. You are His child. But that's not the condition here. We're not talking relationship. We're talking about fellowship. What's the condition? It's the condition of the heart. There are some, even His own children, whose hearts are hard, and they don't hear. For all practical purposes, it's as if there is no God. They don't hear from Him ever. There are others who he is being revealed to. Those are the ones whose hearts are humble. You see the difference. The condition of the heart is the difference. We'll wrap up here in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness. I love this passage. Do you want to hear his voice today? And what's the answer? Don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. Don't rebel against that yoke. Yield and submit to him, to that yoke, and be humble in heart. Let's go to a whole different verse. Jump down to verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You know, if God says something one time, it's worth listening to. If he says something 2 times, I'd start paying attention, maybe special attention. It was important enough that he said it more than once. Well, hold on. Just jump down to chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's three times. I'd say there's some pretty big important stuff in here that we need to pay attention to. Three times he says, today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today, if you want to hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion. Have any of you ever hardened your heart? Come on, not just me. I have. We've been there. We know what the right thing to do is, and we don't want to do it. We don't like the outcome. I don't want to go that path. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get... Whatever the case may be, we've all been there. And but as soon as we rebel against that yoke, that connection, we harden our heart. We're not submitted to that yoke anymore. And what's some of the indicators of a hard heart? What are some of the things you begin to notice? Probably the first one, you lose your peace. That's a far bigger deal than we realize. You lose your peace. We'll see as this goes on, peace is a huge way that he leads us. He'll lead us with peace. And when you lose your peace, that should be a warning indicator. All right, something's not right. I just made a wrong turn, something just happened, but I've lost my peace. Another one, you lose your joy. It messes with everything. Another one, you start to get kind of sour, bitter. Maybe you're a little short with people. You get a little, can I say bitey? You tend to bark at people a little bit. You're just kind of irritable. You start getting kind of bitter. You become the person who's raining on everybody else's parade. You start becoming the person that criticizes everything and everyone. A person who's really into this, it's like nothing satisfies them. They just pick, 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 pick. Those are indicators of a hard heart. A hard heart. They've lost their peace. They've lost their joy. They're getting bitter. Barking. But the problem isn't with everyone around them and all the situations. What's the common thread? It's them. The problem's them. He says, today, if you will, hear his voice. It's not up to God. It's up to us. It's up to us humbling our heart. If you desire to hear his voice, take his yoke upon you. Submit to that yoke. Begin to learn of him. Go home today. Be a great day to do it. And if you know what I mean by this, put your nose in the carpet. You ever been there? Just prostrate yourself in whatever your quiet place is. Not in front of the family, but get in your prayer closet. Put yourself before him. Put your nose in the carpet and just say to him, Lord, you are God. And I know that I don't know anything except in you. I don't have anything except in you. And I am completely and wholeheartedly dependent on you. Father, forgive me for any stubbornness that's been in me. I choose to be willing to do anything you would tell me to do. I will to do your will. There's something like that I pray every day. I have some prayers that I pray every day. And I have one in there that I just... And I think I say it for my benefit more than his. You have some of those prayers? Every day I say, I die to the thought of my own will. I'm here to do your will. Just like in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done in my life just as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will be done. That's a position of humility. That's the position we all need. Well, we'll stop there. Praise God. As the Holy Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion. Stand to your feet.